For some reason, I don't know why, I had always thought that prodigal meant that you were careless, selfish, consistently making poor choices, all for your own pleasure. But that you had repented of all of that, and you came to your senses and had amended your ways. Like, if Kate Winslet in Titanic had only had but a brief dalliance with Leonardo DiCaprio, who was far below her social status and very reckless, according to her mother, but eventually came to her senses and actually married the rich Billy Zane after all, cementing her responsible, high-ranking social status. That's why I thought it always fit so well with the prodigal son. He went away. He sowed his wild oats, if you will, and returned home wiser and more compassionate for his family. But that's not actually what prodigal means. It means giving lavishly and foolishly. Some go so far as to describe it as wastefully extravagant. And then in this context, I have to scratch my head. Sure, the younger son, let's call him Baby, takes all his inheritance and blows it all with what the Bible tells us is dissolute living. On this matter, for just a moment, the older brother, we'll call him Broseph, throws him under the bus and tells their dad, Baby has devoured your property with prostitutes. This is a claim I question, though, because Broseph hasn't seen or talked to his brother since he came home. And it's not like Baby had been posting salacious pictures to social media. So how did he know? Sus. However, it doesn't really matter all that much, because the fact of the matter is that yes, Baby was wastefully extravagant. He's irresponsible, but not criminally or religiously so. He asked for what was his. He received what was his. He spent what was his. Not a good choice, but contrary to several commentators, not particularly sinful or wicked either. So in that sense, right there, he is prodigal. But it's so short-lived. Now he's back home and has been welcomed with open arms by his father, much to Broseph's chagrin. And I empathize with Broseph. As an older brother, I kind of get it. I have always been the responsible one, the sensible one, the unflappable one. I'm dependable and thoughtful. So is Broseph. He has stayed at home helping on his father's estate, which actually will be his own inherited estate someday. In the ancient world, it was customary that the elder child received 2/3 of the inheritance, that the younger only got 1/3. Wasn't this nice, even 50-50 split? And many have actually argued that in all likelihood, the younger son would probably have received 1/3 of the money, but that the older brother is still in line to receive the entire property and 2/3 of the cash. So it actually kind of makes sense that Broseph would stay home and take care of things. It is essentially his. And I'm sure Baby's behavior doesn't help, but I really bet that it's the dad's response that really chaps Broseph's hide. Baby wantonly used up his inheritance, but hasn't been helping around the estate. He hasn't been a contributing member of the family for who knows how long. And what does the dad do? He sees the tiniest glimpse of Baby coming home and breaks out in a sprint to see him. He kisses him and he hugs him, and baby tries to get out this rehearsed apology. But the father doesn't hear it, and he doesn't care, because he's already ordering people to get his son a robe and sandals, a ring, and to prepare a big party. From Brosif's point of view, his younger brother was a jerk. He shouldn't be getting any of this. It's not fair. Who helps around the house? Who eats dinner every night with his father? Who never throws parties? Who never gets in trouble? It's definitely not baby. It's not fair. It's absolutely not fair. Yeah, not. It's not fair. It is absolutely unfair. And yet, this is the story we have. You know who seems actually to be the most prodigal in my mind? The father. He extends his love willy-nilly. He doesn't care what his children have done or said. He just loves them. He lets them go off and make their stupid choices, and he loves them anyway. And he loves both of them, whether he sees them every day or not. It's extravagant. It's foolish. It may even go unreturned and be absolutely wasteful. But it doesn't matter. It's the Father's love to give. And he extends it gratuitously. He gives it unconditionally. He passes out love to his kids prodigally. We call this story the parable of the prodigal son, and have, since Jerome titled it this way in the late 4th, early 5th century. But it actually makes so much more sense to call it the prodigal father. Because it's not actually a parable about baby, and it's not actually a parable about Brosif. It's a parable about dad. He's the central character. He's the center that ties everything together. So I last preached on this parable 6 years ago. It was several months before I became a father, and I had a very different take on it. And I thought it was really strange when scholars looked at the characters and saw in the character of the father an image of God. And partially that's because it isn't fair. But guess what? God's not fair. God is many things. God is loving and God is merciful. God is holy and God is faithful. But we have no evidence whatsoever that God is fair. As a parent, I think I get a little bit better now, because love isn't fair. It is not fair that this little person who shares half of my DNA will always receive my love. There is nothing she can do that will make me love her less. I've done the thought experiments. There just isn't. And it's a vulnerable position to be in. I give her my love, fully aware that she can choose to do with it what she will. Theologically, we call this grace. God extends God's love to us, knowing full well that we might reject it. We don't deserve it. We didn't ask for it. And yet it's ours. It was a very risky choice for God to create humanity complete with free will. We spend so much time thinking about God in terms of power and ability, Almighty God. But very rarely do we consider the fact that we also have an all-vulnerable God? And this is a shame, because that is exactly the position that God has placed themselves. God doesn't pick and choose which of us to love and which of us not to. God loves us all. The father in the story doesn't have to decide between loving Brosif or baby. His love is not finite. It's not an either-or situation. It's this annoying both-and. He loves Brosif and baby, regardless of their actions. And why? Because he does. God loves you. God runs to you with open arms. There is nothing that you can do to change that. It's foolish. It's lavish, it's excessive, and given our current world, it's probably even wasteful. And yet, we have a prodigal God, and God's love never ceases to be there. The ball is in your court. How will you respond?